Hello, hello, and welcome to the Gardner Carney Leadership Institute podcast. The GCLI has developed the pedagogy of leadership, which combines brain science, leadership studies, cultural competency, and developmental psychology. Its mission is to teach teachers to teach leadership to students. This is your go-to podcast for discussions, tips, and stories for leadership and leadership education. And I am your host, Catherine Birdie, but please call me Birdie. Our world is in dire need of people just like you, people who are committed to building communities of leaders, young and old. So let's get busy leading the next generation of leaders, and thank you for joining us. Hello, hello, GCLI. It's Birdie here, and I'm so excited to introduce you to our guest today. They is a performer, a writer, and an activist currently studying musical theater at Baldwin Wallace University. Hailing from Birmingham, Alabama, he is a trans youth ambassador for the Alabama chapter of Human Rights Campaign, and he founded Trans EQ, an organization that provides trainings on transgender identity, history, and equity. You can currently catch him performing this summer at Clinton Area Showboat Theater in Clinton, Iowa, in Sister Act, State Fair, and The Wedding Singer. You must check out the links in the show notes below to see his website, get his contact information for how to reach him for your own educational purposes, and also check out his video that chronicles his vocal progression journey. Everyone, it is my true honor to introduce you to my friend and former student who now has become my teacher, everybody, Dan Rice. Hey, Dan, how are you doing today?
I am so good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. I'm excited to share your story. And before we begin, I'd love our listeners to know that we've known each other for a while as teacher and student. I had the good fortune of teaching you in your public speaking class in high school.
Yes.
Yes. I think it's safe to say that I probably learned much more from you than you learned from me.
No.
It's actually very true. And you took just brave risks then. And I remember being both excited to learn more about what you had to say about trans issues and being a trans student. And then I also remember being very nervous about how some of your speeches would be received and how people would treat you. So this is a very timely topic, and I just can't thank you enough for your bravery and the work you're doing in this space. It's really, really cool.
Thank you so much. Well, you were just the best teacher.
No. Enough of those pleasantries. But I will say there, I've got one more. And as a teacher, and I think all the teachers listening would agree that there's really not much better than when a student goes out into the world and makes big things happen like you have. It's just very rewarding to watch you shine like you have. So thank you for what you're doing. And let's get to that. How about it? tell me, you have joined the ranks of Amanda Gorman, and that you are the recipient of the Oxy Genius Award, which is quite an honor. And will you tell us about the award and the work you did to receive that award?
Yes. So Oxy is a multimedia company, and they produce TV shows, podcasts, lots of different stuff. They have the Carlos Watson Show, which is on YouTube, and just got scooped by Amazon, and is the largest the fastest growing talk show on the internet currently. Yes. So they have this thing every year, although they are adding a new one for this fall, actually. So if you want to apply, then you can apply. It's for college students to apply with a genius idea and potentially get a $10,000 grant. And there are 10 students selected for the Oxy Genius Awards. And it essentially is a grant to fund your genius idea. And so for me, my quote unquote genius idea was to create an education training workshop program for educators and the performing arts and, well, just a general overall training program, and then tailor specific ones also for the performing arts education and medicine on transgender identity, history, and equity.
That's incredible. What? I was actually on the receiving end of some of your initial training, and it is fantastic. Can you go back to the beginning and tell us why educators and why you tailored it to education?
Absolutely. Educators truly make the education experience. They create the environment in which kids are supposed to learn and grow. I mean, children spend half of their waking day at school. And sadly, the vast majority, according to the many different studies that have studied, like I think it's the National Student LGBT Student Climate Survey, the majority of LGBT students and the majority of trans students do not feel safe at school. And teachers and educators really have the ability to change that. And a lot of times that can be as big as teaching, all big and small, as teaching queer topics in the classroom, including queer and trans history, so that we see ourselves represented, so that we know that we're not alone. And as small as just having a tiny little queer pride flag in your room, just to let students know that that's a safe space that they can be in. And so I think it's super important for kids who are growing up to be able to have at least be able to be themselves at school and be able to feel safe at school, because that truly is everything.
It is. It really is. And as a teacher, you know, it's so daunting, I think, sometimes, mm-hmm. to make sure that you are doing everything just right. And when you know that really your job is to teach the kid in front of you. And I remember, oh gosh, okay, I'm gonna be vulnerable here. I remember a day in class when I'm not even sure what I was handing back or referring to, but I used the wrong pronoun when referring to you. Mm. And I've only known you as Dan. And mm. I was really, I recognized it immediately. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I lost sleep over it. And it was months before I had the courage to say something to you and to apologize, because I was completely overwhelmed that I had done that. And I don't know why I did that. I don't know how it happened, but you handled it so gracefully and with such care that it made me feel good. But help me with that. Like, what is that a common thing with teachers and in mm-hmm. with other students, with your peers?
Absolutely. Yes. And I just have to say that you handled that in the absolute, in such a graceful and wonderful way. But part of the education program that I've created is it deals with how to get used to pronouns maybe that you're not used to. For instance, a lot of people are having trouble using they, them pronouns. So I have recommendations for how to get used to those, such as practicing them when the student is around, or I mean, just thinking about how, oh, someone left their wallet on the bus. I hope they come back for it. We use them all the time and kind of getting used to using those for one specific person. But as far as that being a normal, typical occurrence, yes, absolutely. And I just, you know, the largest part is the willingness and the willingness to do the work and the willingness to be able to use the correct pronouns in the first place. Because I know so many students who have had teachers who have absolutely refused to use their correct name and pronouns. And that does have detrimental implications. I mean, according to the 2020 Trevor Project youth survey, the students the youth who'd had their pronouns respected by most people in their lives versus none in their lives, there was like a sliding scale of most people, almost most, et cetera, et cetera. And the more people that use their correct name and pronouns in their lives, the lower their suicide risk was. And so this does have very real implications. And so I think, like everyone's human, slip ups happen. That it comes with the territory. Slip ups happen, if it happens. This is something that's new to a lot of people, and I absolutely recognize that. According to GLAAD, 80% of Americans don't personally know that they know a transgender person. I say know that they know because we're everywhere. You just don't know that we are. And so, the only access that a lot of people are getting to transgender identity and who we are as people and what we're about is from news and media that often portray us as hostile, et cetera, et cetera. And portray us in these really awful ways that are not at all representative of who we are. And so I understand the fear of making mistakes and the fear of doing something wrong. But in my workshops, one of the things that I say right off the bat is you are going to make mistakes, and that is okay. We're all human, we're all learning. This is new to a lot of people, and yes, like the change needs to be made. The change needs to happen. But you can't expect like for me personally, it took me 16 years to figure out what was happening, and it was happening to me. So I can't expect everyone to completely understand overnight. And so yeah.
Oh, I just think it's, I mean, well-intended people who really want to do the right thing, sometimes they do nothing for fear of doing it wrong. And I think that that's so encouraging to know that mistakes are allowed and
Yes.
the effort is everything. And you spoke about the suicide risk associated with trans identity. And can you speak a little bit more to that and how important getting this right really is to the next generation of trans students?
Absolutely, absolutely. The trans community has a disproportionate amount of suicide rates and suicide attempt rates, and oftentimes people presume that to be, oh, there's something wrong with them. That's why, they're trans because they're mentally ill, and that's the exact opposite, actually. If we look at the amount of ex the thing that causes us to have such a high rate is because of how the world treats us. I mean, if you look at the amount of violence that currently exists against the trans community, if you look at the amount of the rates of sexual assault against the trans community, which is 47%, 47% of transgender people, almost half, have experienced sexual assault. We're constantly verbally harassed. We're constantly, I mean, I never saw myself represented on stage or on screen in any capacity, accurately until I was 16. And it was one character that was like just a character that was probably on screen for like 10 minutes in an entire TV show. And so when we don't see ourselves represented, which I, as going back to educators, when we don't see ourselves represented, especially in school curriculums, we assume that we shouldn't exist or that we don't exist. And at some point, you're going to believe that. And that's where the suicide risk really comes into play. But I will also say that as far as the suicide risk, it's the suicide rate, once the someone is accepted and once someone is supported in their identity, the suicide risk drops down to that of their cisgender counterparts, cisgender meaning non-trans. So the risk is not about there's being something wrong with us. The risk is that people are treating us incorrectly, and that is extremely harmful for anyone. So I think it's important to put that into perspective.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, as an educator, it's gratifying to know that I have the ability to make a difference. You have developed an additional program or programs for the medical community and for the, is it performing arts community
Yes.
in addition to educators? Will you tell us more about that? TransEC, I believe it's called.
Yes, TransEC is the name of the organization that I've started that provides these trainings. You can find us at www.transEQ, that's TRANSEQ, like equity, dot gay. The dot gay provides 20% of their revenue to LGBT organizations. So that's why we went with that domain.
Oh.
But yes, very cool. But as far as medicine and the performing arts, I personally work in the performing arts. I'm studying music theater at Baldwin Wallace University. And that's kind of my venue. And as a performer in the performing arts, specifically going into the musical theater world, Broadway is very behind. If you look as far as representation and storylines go, and trans representation, TV film is doing a whole lot better, is doing a whole lot better, but Broadway is still stuck in the past. And a lot of that has to do with the very, very like beginnings of how we structure the training of performers, that ends up inadvertently leaving trans people out or leaving them feeling uncomfortable and not welcome. And so often, I was one of the first openly trans people to enter a top musical theater program. And that's not to say like, oh, I'm so impressive. It's to say there should have been more. I can't believe
Right.
that I'm one of the first. And so I think that's incredibly important for us to reconsider how we structure, for instance, dance classes, which can be can be uncomfortable, having a tight, having requiring tight clothing and mirrors when you're going through a puberty that might not align with how you identify. It can be very uncomfortable for a lot of people. And I mean, the eating disorder rate in the dance community is astronomically high anyway. So a lot of the recommendations that we have for changing the culture of dance, and the other aspects of performing arts end up benefiting everyone.
Right.
Getting rid of the gender distinctions for casting calls can benefit everyone, whether or not they are trans, and things like that. And then as far as medicine goes, just speaking personally, I earlier this summer I had to get an emergency hysterectomy, not because I wanted to, but because the doctors that I'd had let something go untreated because they didn't know how to treat transgender patients. And this has very serious risk for trans people. And I mean, a lot of trans people put off going to the doctor and or because they don't feel that their doctor will be affirming or know that their doctor won't understand or know how to treat them. And as far as me having to get the hysterectomy, I've been experiencing severe gynecological pain for over 3 years, and kept going to the doctor and saying, and going to gynecologist after gynecologist after gynecologist to try to figure out what's going on, and saying, like, I'm in severe pain, like, something's not right. And I
Help.
got ultrasounds, et cetera, and they were every time they were like, nothing's wrong, you're fine, nothing's wrong, you're fine. And it got to the point last semester where I literally was in so much pain that I couldn't, like, if it started at night, I would not be able to sleep the entire night. Like full body pain. It was so bad. And I just happened to stumble upon this article by Buck Angel, who is a staple in the trans community. And it was about his experience with something similar. And he said that he'd been experiencing the same thing that I had, and that he had eventually collapsed when he was working out at the gym and had a fever of 110 and had to be rushed to the hospital. And what they found, he had also had to have an emergency hysterectomy. What they found is that so the body relies, those organs rely on estrogen.
Right.
So if you are taking testosterone, it's not getting the estrogen that it needs, and those organs are going to deteriorate and atrophy, and that can be extremely painful. And in Buck Angel's case, the organs had ended up had atrophy to the point where they had become septic inside of him. And that could have been very, there's a super easy solution, topical estrogen cream just specifically for that area, very easy fix. But none of the doctors that I had gone to had any familiarity, which, a gynecologist should know how hormones affect those body parts.
Right.
And like, it's a super easy fix, but it had gotten to the point with me, sadly, that it was past that point and I had to have that removed. And so I like very, very serious implications here for those who do not know how to treat transgender patients. And so I knew that that was something that I definitely needed to include in these trainings.
Well, it's incredible the work you're doing, and as your former teacher, who has now become your student, I am so grateful for all of the work you're doing. You have done so much in just the very short time you've been out of high school. I'm so proud of the awards and the recognitions that you've received. I am so grateful that you are giving your time and energy to training people who really, I'd like to say, are well-intentioned, I hope, but who just need help finding the language, the words, expertise, the medical expertise to know how this works. I really am so proud of you, so thankful for you. Your leadership is incredible, and I think a testament to what young people can do when they are passionate, and you certainly are that. So I cannot thank you enough for your time and your work. It's very important. Thank you for sharing it with the GCLI community.
Thank you so much.
Thank y'all for joining us today, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Until then, visit us at GCLIleadership.org and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You'll find all of our links at the bottom of our podcast. And until then, lead on.